Blog Talk Radio.
Growing up, my daddy always said, son, you better respect the things and the people that can hurt you. Because if you don't, when you least expect it, they'll hurt you. Growing up in the 50s and 60s, we had a cast iron huge stove, big, heavy monster. This thing, I don't know if it weighed 300 pounds or 3,000 pounds. Well, it probably didn't weigh 3,000, but it certainly weighed a lot. I'm telling you, it was a couple hundred pounds. It had big black cooking surface with two, maybe four, holes that you lifted up with a big tool. That's all that I can even call it. It was a tool to see the flames. And that stove, just about every place that you touched when it was on, was hot. And running a stove with kerosene, the stove was hotter than I think most stoves today are. Now, this stove originally had coal, was coal fired. I don't remember those days, but that's how they originally heated and cooked. And then they converted into kerosene. And even though Daddy said, sons, and he told my brothers and I repeatedly, respect the things that can hurt you, the people that can hurt you, or when you least expect it, you will be hurt. You'll get hurt. And honestly, I thought that I had listened, but obviously I didn't, because I burnt myself several times on that old stove. My brother was a speedster. Even back in the day, you know, everyone had souped up cars. Everybody drag raced, everybody was out trying to outdo the other one's vehicle. And my daddy said, son, respect the car. Respect speed. Respect the road. My brother didn't listen. And eventually, he was hurt pretty serious in a traffic collision. I can preach all day long, every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. the things around you. Don't underestimate people. And still, we see security officers being injured and killed left and right. Just this past weekend, Private Officer International released its statistics for the calendar year between September 2019 and September 2020, which is our statistical year for officer down reports and injuries, because every September during the third week of the month, we have our Officer Memorial Week, which has been stolen, and I spoke about this before, by Allied Universal, who came along, and after receiving our newsletters and our press releases for a number of years, they suddenly had a wow moment, and they decided to designate the third week of September as Security Officer Appreciation Week. And of course, they have a louder voice than we do. They're a large company. They have a PR marketing company in New York City. They kicked out some press releases, and they've made that third week of September well known. We've been around. We've been doing this since 2004. We have a lot of voice. We have a pretty loud voice. We have a lot of publications. We have a lot of acknowledgement of what we've done over the years. But still, this company did steal it. They could have chose a different week, a different month, but they didn't. We contacted them. We went back and forth, but of course, in the end, they did what they wanted to do. But September of 1 year into September of the next is our statistical data reporting period. And this year, I have to tell you, the numbers are horrific, both in deaths and injuries, both in COVID and non-COVID injuries and deaths. And we're going to be sharing that with you coming up in the next segment. I opened the show today talking about what can hurt you because I want you to understand something. Security officers are under attack. They've always been under attack. But as usual, many security officers and private police officers don't get it. They don't take it serious. They don't take their job serious. They don't take the fact that they're in the uniform serious. You can tell that, first of all, by the way that most of them dress. Sloppy. Just like they were going to go to work at some gas station or repair shop. Very few, except I would say those who have prior military law enforcement background or those who are true professionals in the security industry, really are squared away and really look sharp in uniform. Many others don't. But it's important that we pay attention to those things that can hurt us. We'll talk about that later in the show. But this show is going to be as serious as it gets. And if that turns you off, you can turn us off. I understand. Many people don't want to hear the truth. Many people don't want to see the facts. Many people don't want to take that extra effort, even when it's about protecting themselves. But we'll talk about the statistics, the reality, the news, and what private security is facing today. Of course, we also have a lot of other breaking news, a lot of other things happening in the private security law enforcement field. We want to talk about a few opportunities for you to own a business. I was shocked and surprised that a million people didn't apply and contact us once we released the information about six businesses that we were willing to waive all fees and interest and everything else to get you a business of your own. We had quite a few contacts, but nothing to the amount that we should have. Who in this world has offered you a business without any money? Think about that. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
What a fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water is like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the soda.
Don't forget the life jackets.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny when you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the U.S. Coast Guard.
You wouldn't think the cafeteria would be a scary place.
There are 5.9 million kids in the U.S. living with food allergies.
It happens to me on the school bus.
And a third of kids with food allergies are bullied because of it. Right now, we're working on a cure for food allergies. Until then, there is a cure for food allergy bullying. You. Go to foodallergy.org to teach your kid about the seriousness of food allergies.
If I'm not at school, I can't get bullied.
Food allergy bullying. It's not a joke.
I'm old-fashioned. I admit it. I've always owned who I am, who I was, what I stood for. I'm old-fashioned. And I believe that when you commit to doing a job, whether it's sweeping, janitorial service, whether it's working on a farm, whether you are a professional firefighter, paramedic, or security officer, that when you say, I'll take the job for $12 an hour, that's a commitment. It's actually a contract. And I've always been the type of person where I took the job, no matter what the job was, very serious. And my commitment and my agreement to my employer to do the best that I can. People today, they don't see it that way. They don't do it that way. They don't think that way. They say, you're going to pay me $12 an hour to be a security guard. You get what you pay for. You don't want to pay me $20 an hour? I'm not going to give you $20 an hour worth of effort. They're not ethical. They don't understand that what you do today will follow you around tomorrow and for years to come. If you go from being a security officer and you apply for a different type of job, whether you put down the security company as a reference or previous employer or you don't, someone's going to find out about your previous employment life. It's a smaller world than we think it is. And someone's going to recognize you. Someone's going to know you. And they're going to know who you are and how you are and what you're about. It's going to follow you negatively if you don't take the job. And it's okay to even take yourself seriously. I was traveling during the hurricane last week. And I was in South Alabama and Florida. And the security officers that I saw, some were from Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, and Florida. I stopped and talked to several of them. They were not well dressed for the most part. I understand that it was a hurricane assignment, but you still have to look professional. You're in uniform. Sneakers is not appropriate. They're not appropriate. Brown shoes, not appropriate. A baseball cap that says NASCAR, that's not part of the uniform, even during a hurricane assignment. By then, the hurricane had left. And all that these people were doing was patrolling and walking around and driving and getting paid. Like I said, I acknowledge I'm old-fashioned. I have lost employees of several of my companies in the past because I am stricter than some companies. But I do expect commitment when someone says, I'll do it. You see, the money, the hourly wage, the salary, that should never come into play with your word. You say, I'll do it. I'll take that job. I know how much it pays. And yet, then you disregard the agreement and you do your own thing. And then you say, well, you get what you pay for. People, you have to have ethics. You have to have morals. You have to have scruples. And if you don't want the job, don't take it just because you need the money. Go get a different job. Work at McDonald's, Walmart, the 7-Eleven. Do something different. Don't take a job where you have responsibilities, where you have to be professional-looking, professional-speaking, professional-acting. I know, I'm on my soapbox again, but I've seen so much in recent weeks and months. And to know how dangerous this career, this job, this employment position is, you have to understand that the danger and your professionalism, your looks, has a lot to do with it. As we talk in the next segment about the dangers, I hope that you'll understand command presence is really the first step of force. And we'll talk about that. But please, if you're going to be in uniform of any type, I've been in the military. I understand the rigidness of positions where you have to wear uniform. Security is not the military, but security is a profession, and we are trying to make it more professional, and we cannot do that when people are wearing sandals in uniform, sneakers, you know, sloppy, haven't shaved in gosh knows when, not even sure if they took a shower this week, and that's not even the hurricane assignment. That's just somebody working in their hometown. I know there are many, 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 many dedicated personnel in the security industry, men and women who would give their life and do give their life every day. And I always salute them, and I always praise them, and I always reach out to them. If you know someone that needs accolades, if you know someone who needs to be recognized, we want to recognize them. Send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We still have the COVID-19 award availability. Go to our website, privateofficer.org, and nominate someone, including yourself, if you've been out working during the COVID pandemic. We're going to take another quick break. I promise when I come back, no more preaching. Well, I can't really promise that, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
What am I doing lying in this casket? Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm dead. I got shot. I'm not supposed to be dead. I'm only 17. And now I can't see my 18th birthday because I'm a fatal victim of gun violence. My friends, my family, my own mother was devastated. Can't see her son anymore because of gun violence. And everyone's here at the funeral. But before they lay me to rest, there's just one last thing I have to do. How many more of us have to die from gun violence? Let's put a stop to this, because if we don't, the next time it could be your child lying in this casket.
Brought to you by Man Up Inc. USA, a proud member of the gun violence awareness movement.
I met kind of just grew up together. He got his license when he was 16. We were going to the beach, and Luke was driving. I was in the passenger seat, and all of a sudden, I don't remember anything. I wasn't conscious for it. We got hit by a drunk driver. I feel like I knew right away that it was never going to be the same. I don't know. The doctors, they were telling me I was so lucky to be alive. When I found out that he died on impact, I didn't really feel lucky. And sometimes I still don't. Drinking and driving is completely unnecessary, and I think it's selfish if you do it. It's not worth taking that risk, because you never know what's going to happen.
Do you have a security training school academy in Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Florida, just about any place? Are you interested in gaining new students and raising that profit scale? Do you have a medical training school where you provide CNA training, first aid and CPR, or other medical courses, or maybe you do both? Contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. They will put you in touch with somebody at Armor College. We're expanding our partnerships and our schools. They will tell you several different ways that you can be involved, that you can increase your student enrollment and your profits, and partner with Armor College with many courses that may be outside of your scope of knowledge or training or certification, but we'll partner with you to help make your school bigger and better, and of course, bring in more income. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. On the other hand, are you looking to start your own school? Partner with Armor College and Armor Technical Institute. Today, we have some great options. Again, the point of contact for everything usually is going to be our helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and they will get you in touch with the right people at Armor College. We're also looking for a Washington, D.C. SPO instructor. If you have at least 3 years of experience, we're looking for CPR, first aid, lifeguard instructors in Virginia, North Carolina, Alabama, South Carolina, and Georgia. Contact us. Again, you can send your resume and contact us initially at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That will eliminate you having to contact numerous different people at different emails and websites and all that. If you are looking to do some other type of arrangement, some other type of partnership, some other type of... We just had, in the last couple of days, last week actually, somebody who is in Swiftwater Rescue training contact us. And we do Swiftwater Rescue and other water safety and rescue training. So whatever your specialty might be, we might be interested. Contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Are you looking for top-of-the-line body armor, protective clothing, slash-resistant vest, gloves? You're looking to stay safe? Whether you're working for a sheriff's department inside the jail, a law enforcement agency, a private security agency, or other company that you just need to wear protective wear and be safe, contact Body Armor USA. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. I'm telling you, these guys over there, they're going to take care of you. They might even, have some great specials this week. I'm sure that they do. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Are you looking to increase your sales? Are you in the public safety, security, alarm business? Are you a vendor that supplies to law enforcement, security, public safety, electronic security, and beyond? Contact Help Desk, of course, helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We have quite a, I do want to say gigantic, I was going to say gigantic, footprint across the country and around the world on so many different platforms, well known, and we have millions of contacts and hits on social media, our newsletters, websites every year, and we have a pretty far reach. Contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. I think you'll be surprised and amazed at how low our marketing programs are. Nothing like some of the magazines, professional magazines out there that charge, you know, $10,000 for a little 3-inch square ad. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous how much pricing for marketing and ads have gone recently, but we're not them. Contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We do want to talk about the news. We want to talk about what's really happening out in the security field today that makes it very dangerous. We've told you that we have a lot going on, and we do. We're opening a new school for Armor in Maryland, Frederick, Maryland. A new school, two new schools actually in Alabama. We just signed off on a couple of new deals in Indiana and Louisiana. So it's exciting times for our business. Before I do go to break, I want to give you one other heads up. We do have an investment group, and as I alluded to at the entrance of this segment, you know, we really want to help people. We financially can help people. Thank God things have, you know, we've been blessed and things have been turned around for us over the years. And we have companies that we want to grow. And we're looking to people like you who have experience, but maybe not a whole lot of money. If you're interested in a chaplain service, in a public safety service where we provide service to fire, EMS, law enforcement, schools, which is really a big deal these days. Everybody's outsourcing. If you're interested in the security business, if you're interested in training or other areas, contact us, helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We're coming right back. You are listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Down reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info. And you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. And if you're not already a member of the Private Officer International Association, sign up while you're there today. Become a lifetime member for just $99. And we'll also include a free Private Officer International patch and lapel pin. If you are already a member, that's great, and we appreciate you. We'd like for you to spread the news and tell your coworkers, employees, and others in the industry about the Private Officer Group. In the news this week, of course, a lot of news. And if you don't already get our breaking news alerts, go to our website at privateofficer.org today. Sign up for those breaking news alerts, officer down reports, and upcoming training opportunities. There's no cost. privateofficer.org. In the news this week, two men are accused in Texas of stealing more than $20,000 worth of electronics. Robert Lee Williams, 27, and Jerome Anthony Ward, 26, both charged with theft. And this was after an investigation by Walmart Security. In North Riverside, Illinois, this past week, a man was injured in a shooting at the North Riverside Park Mall. Security responded, as well as law enforcement. Two males had got into an argument, which resulted in a shooting. They did evacuate the mall and close it down. We are seeing more and more of this stuff happening at the mall, even though the mall is not really as successful as it's been over the years. A lot of shoppers aren't even going to the mall. They're buying online, and yet criminals are meeting at the mall. The California Division of Occupational Safety and Health, the state level of OSHA, so they have cited a number of police departments and hospitals for COVID violations. They say that they're inspecting healthcare facilities and police departments and public safety departments because there's a lot of increase of people in and out, and they want to make sure that the employees are also staying safe. An off-duty Franklin County, Ohio deputy sheriff, that's Columbus, Ohio, the capital of the state, was killed in a six-vehicle accident tragically on Friday. The Ohio State Police said that Angela Kane, 51, of Logan, Ohio, was killed. She was in one of the vehicles that was hit during that six-car pileup. In Southampton, New York, the Southampton Union Free School District has promoted a security officer to become the lead security officer, saying that she'd been employed with the district since 2017 and has shown superior service as well as supervisory skills. She has an associate degree in Suffolk County Community College and also a CPR and security license. They say that she has done a great job, and Tika Allen is now the supervisor. A school security officer was hit by a car in Texarkana, Texas. He was also serving as a crossing guard for that district. Ron Ferguson, 68, is in fair condition. He was hit by a car on Summerhill Road. This happened a couple of days ago. The 76-year-old driver of the vehicle is under investigation, but no charges currently are outstanding. A casino in Las Vegas was fined $300,000 after a security officer handcuffed a wrong woman accused of theft and held her there for more than 90 minutes and at one point had grabbed her by the neck and arm and threatened her. The Nevada Gaming Board fined that particular casino $300,000, and the security officer has been charged with criminal assault. In Cherry Hill, New Jersey, a school security officer was fired for saying that the Jacob Blake killing was a good shoot. This related to a person who was shot by police who was armed, and it actually touched off a riot. And the school system, they believe that that was an inappropriate comment and it violated their policy. Now, this security officer had been working for the school system for a number of years, and he is contemplating whether or not to file a suit. Robert Menta was a security officer, and he believes that this was a wrongful firing. TSA in Richmond, Virginia, has already stopped 14 guns this year. They say that the travel was low for quite a while, but the guns were high. And across the country, the TSA is saying the same thing. Over the last 12 months, people carrying guns on board has really ramped up, and a lot more people are carrying guns. In fact, just this past week, TSA caught a man with a small gun in his shoe. He's been arrested and will be fined a substantial amount of money. In Garden Grove, California, something that we're seeing a lot over the last 10 years, The Garden Grove approved a $1.8 million contract to outsource jail security to G4S. G4S will take over the services from the deputies, and they will begin to contract and provide security for two ICE facilities, three prisons, and two detention facilities there in that city. A security officer is being credited with saving a life after he found that a man had been stabbed at a marina, and Chris Church responded and was able to save the man's life. We're seeing this also happening more often. Security officers are getting involved and are making a difference. An off-duty Stamford, Connecticut security officer was killed by gunfire. The off-duty security officer in Stamford, Connecticut, a female, was out with a group of people celebrating when gunfire erupted, and unfortunately, she was killed. Shanita Dunmore, 35, was a security officer for several years in the city of Bridgeport and Stamford, Connecticut. Also in the news this week, Denver police are facing federal lawsuits for arresting the wrong woman. Police were called by a security officer and identified a woman who was involved in a burglary and an assault. A security officer at the scene told officers that the female had been taken to a hospital. They went to the wrong hospital and handcuffed a woman who had recently come in by ambulance. She wasn't the right woman, and now a lawsuit has been filed. A Florida security officer in Hillsborough County, Florida, that's Tampa, has been arrested. He works at the Knights Elementary School, and he's been charged with physical abuse after he grabbed a hold of a young student who was acting out and would not obey or pay attention to the teachers. Police say that he caused swelling on the back of the head of the student, and he's been charged with assault. You may have seen this in our news broadcast during the week last week. A security officer, unarmed, by himself in a Florida mall in Orange County, which is Orlando, had a very scary and life-threatening few moments when, as he was making his foot patrol through the darkened mall, he was confronted by three armed masked culprits who stole his money and his phone before breaking into a jewelry kiosk and stealing a bunch of jewelry. And police are still investigating. No arrest at this time has been made. An unusual story out of Delray Beach, Florida. Patrick Adolfi always wanted to be a police officer. He grew up wanting to be a police officer, but while working a retail job, he allowed his friends to steal merchandise and was caught and arrested and charged with a felony. But with the help of some folks in Tallahassee, the capital of Florida, he was able to get a full pardon and now has been hired by the Delray police, and he's about to go through the academy. And we won't get into the politics here, but looking at this, it doesn't really look fair to other people. A lawyer who says a courthouse security officer tackled him, dragged him outside, beat him up, is suing in Lyles County, Mississippi. The federal judge has refused to toss out a suit by the lawyer, even though the contracted security officer was working for the Federal Protective Service. They say that the lawyer, Moses Lee Sudith Jr., has a right to sue. The off-duty lawyer was in a t-shirt, flip-flops, and a baseball cap when he came into the courthouse. He bypassed the metal detector. When the security officer told him he had to go through the metal detector, the off-duty lawyer said he did not. He was just there to drop off a piece of paper to the clerk's office, and he went on his business. The security officer confronted him, drug him through the metal detector, and then basically threw him outside. Now a lawsuit has been filed, and we're going to follow this. Our Court Watch division will let you know what happens. A New York Security Training Academy owner and peace officer instructor has been sentenced to jail after holding numerous bogus classes. He would charge the people but not provide the service. He would issue the certificate but not go through the training or the range qualification. Dennis Brennan 66, was sentenced to 4 months in jail and 3 years on probation. And unfortunately, we do see this really quite often across the country. One man's opinion is sometimes fact or fiction. A man says don't defund the police, but rather refund and apply that money to private policing. We've seen across the country privatization of prisons and private police is on the uprise even before all of the riots and the defund the police comments across the country. According to the Labor Department, we have about 1.4 million people employed in private security. Our estimate is close to 2 million, and that's 50% at least more than police officers. And this news article says that it's better to have private agencies who are out there trying to enforce the law, because they know if they don't, they're going to get fired. Police officers and police departments, they're not going to get fired if they don't do the job. There are many states, we talk about this frequently, that does have private police acts and laws in place where security can be sworn law enforcement officers on their property. And in fact, this does work quite well. In Florida, a family of an elderly man who was attacked during a ride on the metro in Miami-Dade is suing Allied Universal Security as well as the county after he was attacked and brutally beaten. We've seen that video. The family of Eduardo Fernandez suffered broken bones, internal injuries, and the violent beating. He says security failed to provide security for the transit system, and now they are filing the lawsuit against Allied Universal and the county. A lot of news, always breaking news every day, every single day. Go to our website at privateofficer.org and sign up today. You'll only get those alerts that are really, you know, very serious. But for following the day-to-day news that we post in our news blog, go to privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about the statistics happening, and we want to talk about whether or not you should intervene when you're off duty as a security officer. We'll be right back.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is, and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives that then 3-6 months later they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Roth.
During the past 12 months, we have experienced a substantial increase in officer deaths. Some are directly related to COVID illnesses, but there have been many fatal encounters, and there have been many of our private security personnel and private law enforcement who have been injured on the job through traumatic injuries, assaults. And from September 2019 through September of this year is our statistical year that we collect the data, because it coincides with our yearly Officer Memorial Week, which is the third week of September. Now, this year, during those 12 months, we had 273 known deaths of security officers. And when we say known, those are the numbers, those are the stats that we were able to collect. And as we've said many times, we know that probably is 10 to 20% more, because we don't see all of the information, or the information is not always released. It's very difficult to obtain data these days. And in the cases of security officer or even private police officer deaths, those numbers are not always released. Their names are not. And oftentimes there's just a two-sentence, three-sentence news article in a local paper someplace without even the person's name. Just the fact that there was a shooting, it left one man dead who was a security officer. So this year, in the past 12 months, it has been very tragic. We've had a total of 273 deaths of security officers. Of those 273, 190 were COVID-related. And these are the statistics and the information on their death records. If it says that it was COVID-related, that's what we have to go by. And in many cases, we have checked on these particular death cases, and we found that in many times, a security officer had been on duty right up until the point of hospitalization or illness. And we had more than, I believe it was 14 or 15 that had just gone back to work when they were infected with COVID and died. 190 COVID-related deaths, but out of 273, that still leaves 83 other security officer deaths not related in any way to COVID. In the COVID deaths, we found that of the 190, 48 were female and 142 were male. Of those who did die from COVID-related illnesses, the median age was 59. Based on the statistical data and information that we were able to collect of more than 50% of those listed who are deceased. We also found that 13 known companies employing proprietary or contracted security services reported more than 1,000 employees who were impacted by COVID. TSA had nearly 2,000. Homeland Security had nearly 2,000. We also found that two well-known large security companies, including Allied Universal and G4S, had a substantial number, but never would release the exact number of infected or even their statistics on the deaths of their employees. Now, we are working currently with OSHA, both on the state and federal level, and the Department of Labor to see if we can't collect that data. And if we do, of course, we will be reporting that. Also, this year, during this time, we had 23 workplace accident deaths. The number of deaths on the worksite involving vehicle accidents at warehouses and transportation centers, involving slip and falls that resulted in fatal deaths, other vehicle-related deaths were up substantially. So workplace accidents, 23. There were 8 fatal stabbings during this time. And over the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years, we've noticed more stabbings than usual and more fatal stabbings than usual. Of course, we talk about you know, everyone carries a knife, and it's very easy to conceal a knife. And many people who cannot get a gun can definitely get a knife. So we may see these stabbing injuries and fatalities rise as well. 30 people during this time, 30 security officers were killed by gunfire. There were 13 fatal vehicle accidents. We see more and more security and private police driving, being mobile, whether that be in a vehicle, a truck. We've had a few killed in golf carts, ATVs. Some areas are patrolled by ATVs and other motorized vehicles. And so the death toll of accidents, vehicle accidents, definitely are increasing as well. We've also had 9 non-COVID illness-related deaths of security officers during the past 12 months. And this was related to heart attacks, other illnesses where they were taken to hospital and it was a fatal illness. And we also, this year, have seen a substantial number of injuries on the job site. We've seen a lot of security officers who have fallen down not only stairways, but several who have fallen down elevator shafts, several that have fallen, about 8 or 9 this past year who have fallen in construction sites down substantial feet. We're talking about from the second or third level. One person fell from the 8th level and survived. So it's very dangerous, of course, in a construction site. And most of the time, of course, it's dark. Most security officers work after the construction folks have left, and it's dangerous, especially if you're out and patrolling. 273 total deaths during the past 12-month reporting time. We had 20,217 known assaults. Now, in these assaults, we in some areas, they include a battery, pointing of a weapon, a firearm, or a threat of bodily harm in some states is also considered an assault or battery. The data collected identifies those areas. The following states were ranked from the most reports of assaults, officer injuries, and deaths. Year after year after year, the same states make the list. Their position on that list from 1 through 10 often can change, but they're always on the list. And there are certain states that are always in the top 5. Texas this year, again, was the state that had the most assaults, injuries, and lethal interactions of any state. I believe it was in 2018 that our office did a complete study of deadly force incidents involving both the use of force by security and the use of force against security, and Texas was at the top of that list. Well, this year, again, Texas is at the top of the list for the most assault, injuries, and deaths, and that does not include the amount of force used by private security. But we will be compiling that before the end of this year as well. California, again, came out in the top 3. California is number 2 this year with the most assaults, injuries, and deaths of security officers. Arizona, number 3. Florida, again, always in the top 5. Florida, we see a lot of use of force by security and a lot of use of force against security. New York, number 5. Again, always in the top 5 spot. Number 6 was Nevada. And it's not just Las Vegas. We see other areas of Nevada in the last few years having increased interactions of use of force, deadly, lethal, and non-lethal as well. Ohio, number 7. Alabama, always in the top 10 or 12. And unfortunately, Alabama is a growing state. They're increasing private security, and so they make that top 10 list. Georgia, and number 10, coming in last but not least, is Michigan. Again, in Michigan, we see a lot of use of force. This past year, we've had a number of security officers killed in Michigan because of COVID enforcement in Detroit and Flint. And we do see a lot of lethal force, a lot of assaults, and a lot of less than lethal force incidents coming out of Michigan. So again, number 1, Texas. Number 2, California. Number 3, Arizona. Number 4, Florida. Number 5, New York. Number 6, Nevada. Number 7, Ohio. Number 8, Alabama. Number 9, Georgia. And number 10 was Michigan. Deaths by gunfire this past 12-month cycle increased by 17.4% over the previous year. And deaths by vehicle accidents had an increase of 5.6% over the previous year, although that's kind of deceiving because there were a lot of vehicle accidents that didn't involve fatal injuries, but they did involve serious injuries. But we are seeing that area increase substantially. In the workplace deaths, we also saw 2 drownings, 5 suicides, 3 miscellaneous, 2 tornado building collapse on security officers, 1 person fell 6 stories in New York City, and there were 10 trauma assaults where the person was brutally beat up, hit by a vehicle, or other traumatic injuries that did result in a fatal situation. 273 overall security officer and private police officer deaths during the past 12 months. That's a lot. That is really a lot. And it continues to increase every year as private security are further and further on the front line and the first person to intervene, the first person to respond, oftentimes being met with lethal and non-lethal force. Look at what's happening. Look at Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other protests and riots. Look at everything that security is doing today, and you can understand why there's been so many fatal officer injuries and so many injuries overall. And like I said, it will only increase. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. That's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, Part 1, How to Stay Safe Out There. Next week, we're going to wrap it up in Part 2, but between now and then, we're going to be sending out some information on how to better prepare for the dangers associated with the job and equipment, and some other advice and tips on the environment that we're in, how to be safe, and how to stay alive. Again, thank you, everybody, for being here on the Private Officer Beat. Until the next time, God bless you, be safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.